They said, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 2. These guys said, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 12. And the Lord is saying, then be it done to you according to your faith. Oh, Lord, you know, living with this wife you gave me, that's a 13. Okay, for you, it's a 13. What about you? Lord, nah, that's a 1 or 2. What? Because I know your power and your strength, and I'm fine. It's a 1 or 2. The Lord says, then for you, it'll be a 1 or 2. Be it done to you according to your faith.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Can you imagine how it would be to have the Son of God marvel at how great your faith was? Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to look at some characteristics of a couple of people in the Bible whose faith caused even Jesus to stop and do a double take. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Characteristics of Great Faith.
Would you take out your notes with me as we talk about characteristics of a great faith? A what? A great faith. You mean there's different stages or value systems in faith? Mm-hmm. There's different qualities of faith. Yep, you know, there's all kinds of values given to different things. People give values to different things, like people will value a car one over another. People will value clothes. Some say, I value this. Some say, I don't value that. There's just different values assigned to different things. Time. People value time differently. Some, we're really loose. We call it Hawaiian time. And pakes, you know, time is money. You know, they just... By the way, speaking of pakes, I saw Elwin. This is a great story. Elwin was sitting in his car on the side of the street, just kind of waiting like this. And so I knocked on his window. I said, Pastor Elwin, what are you doing? And he was just waiting like that. He says, oh, I went to the dentist and I put plenty quarters enough for 2 hours. But the dentist was only 45 minutes, so I got hour 15 now. I'm going to wait. Time is money. So yes, you know. But there's all kinds of values given. You know, like Van Gogh, the great painter, when he was alive, he sold only one of his paintings for just some minimal amounts of money. But after his death, others valued his painting so much more. Recently at Christie's of London, one of his paintings won $39 million. Can you believe that? Well, value systems change. And the Bible also gives different values to different things. In fact, we need to find out what God says is very valuable and match up with it. So what we're going to do in this series is we're going to find out what God calls great. He calls 5 or 6 things great. For example, greater love is no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. The greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God. Then he'll say other things. Now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And today we're going to talk about a faith. Two people that God actually pulls out and describes their kind of faith is a quality of faith that marveled him, that he was amazed at. He says, oh, this is the greatest kind. Woman, your faith is great. Now, I think it's pretty, must be tough to marvel or amaze the king of the universe, the one who cast the stars into space and started all of the planets in its perfect rotational orbit. And then he says, wow, this is amazing. He speaks of two non-Jewish people, Gentiles. One was a Canaanite woman, and in Matthew, both in Matthew, and the other was a Roman centurion. And of all the people who displayed faith, the Lord says, these people have the quality of faith that causes heaven to notice. There's different qualities of faith. When the disciples were out there, he said, oh, ye of little faith. Another time when they said, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? The Lord stopped the wind and the waves. And he said, how is it that you have no faith? To another, he said, many will fall away from the faith. So you have all of these different scales or qualities of love. But what scares me the most is this. The Lord says, be it done to you according to your faith. What? Mm-hmm. Be it done unto you according to your faith. In other words, the scale of the quality of faith is what will be delivered to you. That is the portal through which I will work. If you have little faith, then it'll be done unto you according to your faith. If you have a big faith, then it'll be done to you according to your faith. So what we want to do is say, Lord, what is the greatest kind of faith to make sure that my faith matches up to that? It was in Numbers 13 when the 12 spies went into the land that the Lord was going to give to them. 10 came back with a terrible report. 2 came back with a good faith-filled report. And Moses said, now, what do you think? The 10 guys said, oh, man, the giants are in the land, the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Amorites and the Parasites and the Electrolytes, everybody's in that land. And then Caleb and Joshua, they said, whoa, wait a minute, we should by all means go into that land. Yeah, well, wait a minute, they said it was terrible. No, it's easy. Well, wait a minute, Moses said, did you like you guys go to the same movie or different movies? No, same. Now, why do you say on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 12, and then you, Joshua and Caleb, say it's a 2? Well, later on in the next chapter, the Lord says, you know those 10 guys that said it's like on a scale of 1 to 10, the measure of difficulty is a 12? They won't go into the land. But Joshua and Caleb, because they had a different spirit, they shall inherit the land. You see, what God is saying is this. All of them saw the same thing. But to those two people who had a different quality of faith, they said, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 2. These guys said, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 12. And the Lord is saying, then be it done to you according to your faith. You see, what God gives to you, if you say, oh, it's a 12, to you it'll be a 12. What about you? Oh, God, I don't know what you asked me to do. It's like a 9. Okay, for you it's a 9. Oh, Lord, you know, living with this wife you gave me, that's a 13. Okay, for you it's a 13. My kids, that's a 22. Okay, 22. What about you? Lord, nah, that's a 1 or 2. What? 1 or 2, because I know your power and your strength, and I'm fine. It's a 1 or 2. The Lord says, then for you it'll be a 1 or a 2. Be it done to you according to your faith. What God is saying is you choose the measure of difficulty that your life will be lived at. You choose. Huh? Yep, you choose. Be it done unto you according to your faith. Well, if the Lord is going to tell us and describe to us qualities of faith, and it's going to be done to me according to my faith, then Lord, help me find the greatest faith of all. And so we're going to take a look at this in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to find that a woman comes to Jesus and her daughter was demon-possessed, demonized. And she says, oh, Lord, help me. My daughter's cruelly demon-possessed. Now, the Lord says stuff that just blows my mind. She starts to cry out and says, have mercy on me, son of David. But listen to this. Jesus didn't answer her a word. He didn't even pay attention to her. What? And his disciples, to add insult to injury, came to Jesus and said, send her away. She's shouting at us. Then he answers to the lady and says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, only to Jewish people. Well, she came back again, refused to be deterred, bowed down before him, and said, Lord, help me. He then adds some more insult, it seems. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I thought, what? And then she said, listen to this. Yes, Lord, but even dogs can feed on the crumbs that fall from the master's table. This lady's my hero. And then at the top of our notes, let's now read what Jesus says. Go. Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Isn't that cool? Now let's go back over this exchange for a moment and draw some lessons from this well of truth. What is it? What are those qualities that make up the quality of faith that stops heaven? And God himself says, oh, woman, your faith is great. This is an ingredient. What you just did is an ingredient to what makes great faith. It's almost as if the Lord pushed back on her in order to generate, to sort of surface a greater faith than she had. See, the Lord is not someone who is just a naysayer. He's not someone that just is rude to people. It's almost as if the Lord knew that when she first began to ask that question, she did not have the faith necessary yet to bring healing. So he pushes back on her until it boils a little bit. Then it comes to the surface and he says, "That's it. That's it. That's the quality of faith that dispenses, releases the miraculous." And he said, "Oh woman, your faith is great." Well, what are some of those qualities? Here's the first. Would you write number one? Quality of faith. What is it? Here it is. A faith that pursues God's best. Would you write that in? Just pursues God's best. Oh, do we always come to an ideal in life? No, but my heart pursues God's best. I won't settle for anything less. Let's read again the story, Matthew 15, 22 and 23 in part. Let's read it out loud. Go. A Canaanite woman came out of that region and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, "Send her away, for she's shouting after us." You see, she was a Canaanite. She must have heard about Jesus coming through. And so she came and cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The disciples say, "Hey, tell her to get out of here." But she's about to cry out all the more. She refused to let anything deter her from God's best. Someone once said to me that a person's faith will be determined by what it takes to derail them from their commitment to God's best. The size of a person's faith will be determined by what it takes to derail him or her from pursuing God's best for their marriage, for their dating, for whatever it might be. What is God's best? And when that person says, "Nothing's going to derail me, even my own lack of self-control, I'm going to be committed to God's best," the Lord says, "Now, you're starting to tap into a quality of great faith." That's the stuff that gets heaven's notice. See, it's easy to implode and to just kind of go along with the flow. But when someone says, "No, nothing's going to derail me from pursuing God's best," and the Lord says, "Ah, there's that quality of faith." And she just refused to give up. She just refused. Another person said to me, "Wayne, it's not how high you blow up. It's what direction your feet are pointed when you touch ground again." Because all of us are going to hit speed bumps. Isn't that right? All of us are going to run into walls. How many of you have run into a wall or two? Yeah. We all have. Look at the flat noses in this place. You know, we all, boom. We all have. But the Bible says the righteous man falls seven times, but what? Rises again, gets back up. That's exactly right. You see, sometimes we think, well, righteousness is you never make a mistake. Well, not necessarily, because we're all going to stumble, fumble, and fall because we're human, fallen mankind. But the Bible says righteous men and women are those who don't just fall down and stay down. They get back up to say, "No, I'm going to try again. No, I messed up, but I'm going to try again." Oh, it's easier to bail out. Because often when we lock horns with people, we just bail out. And you know what the Lord is saying? No, see those people that are locking horns? Yeah, that's not the best, but watch. They're going to get back up and make it right. They're going to be restored. They're going to reconcile. That's a righteous man. That's a righteous woman. That's a righteous church. Because it's easy to make a mistake and bail out and run away. The Lord says, "No, let me tell you what righteousness is when they get back up and say, 'I'm sorry, I blew it. Would you forgive me? Let's go. Let's go for it again.'" And the Lord says, there's a righteous church. People that refuse, refuse, refuse to give up. And there's going to be mistakes. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 14, 4. It says this, "Where there are no oxen, the manger will be clean. But great strength comes with the ox." In other words, if we want great strength in this church, then we have to deal with some doo-doos, yeah. Now, if our goal is clean mangers, then yeah, you won't have any doo-doos. But we're going to have doo-doos because you know what God is saying? Just clean them up. Because our goal is strength to move forward, not just keep it clean and stale. And so that's what this woman's faith, the quality that she has. She's saying, "I'm just going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep pressing forward. And I will not accept defeat. Now, that's just a heart, because sometimes you can't change circumstances, but you can change your mind and your heart in the midst of it. It's okay, because you can be defeated by circumstances or just turn your heart around. It's like the little kid that threw the baseball up and he said, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." And he swung and he missed it. Boom. Picked the ball up again. He said, "I said I'm the best batter in the world." And he missed again. Boom. He picked it up and said, "I said I'm the best batter in the world." Boom. Picked up that ball and he said, "Wow, what a pitcher." That's a kind of heart. And the Lord says, "See that quality? That's the quality. That's it. That's the quality that you want to add into your faith that increases the value, the quality of faith into a great faith." That's what this woman had. She just refused to give up. And not only that, would you write in number two, she refused to be offended. Oh, we live in a society where offense is taken so quickly. That's why everybody's suing everybody. But she said, "I will not be offended." She refused. That's a quality. Let's read the scripture, Matthew 15, 25. Go. She came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Oh, woman, your faith is great." Ah, man, I tell you, if someone called me a dog, I'd be a little offended, you know. And he said, "You don't give it to dogs." But instead, she refuses to be offended and simply responds. And she said, "Nah, yeah, there's a little humiliation, but that's not a hill I'm going to die on. It's not worth it." She refused to be offended. And that was a choice she made. Just refused. You know, a lot of times when I'm flying from one place to another, inevitably I sit next to a person and we get to talking and he finds out what I do. And when he or she does, I'll ask them, "Do you go to church?" And like 90% of the time they'll say, "I used to, but I don't anymore." Why? Here's the normal answer. Someone in the church offended me, and so I don't go anymore. I said, "Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? Someone offended you, and this leader or this congregant or whatever offended you, and you don't go to church anymore?" "Yeah, I don't go to the church. I hate church now. I hate organized religion." I said, "Oh, great. Come to New Hope. We ain't organized at all. Just here." But we're just so prone to take offense. You know, in the army, you'll hear the "shoot to kill" phrase. But in the devil's army, he doesn't shoot to kill. He shoots to wound. So people tolerate woundedness. Because you see, when you shoot to kill, you take out one person. You shoot and wound somebody, a gut shot or a leg shot or whatever, you take out three. You take out him and you take out two people more to carry a stretcher. So they shoot to wound. You take out more that way. You disable more. And you see, in the church is the same way. The devil is very crafty and he'll wound people, and we take offense. And you take out 5, 6, 10 other people because we start slandering and rumoring, gossiping, get upset at. And then there's splits in churches and all kinds of things. The devil is crafty and he'll wound people in such a way that they take offense and we take out a whole bunch of people with us. And what happens is it diminishes the atmosphere for miracles to take place. It was a few chapters ahead in Matthew chapter 13 that we find something that takes place about a person that's offended. Listen to this. In verse 54, it says, "And Jesus came to his hometown. And when he did, he began teaching in the synagogue. Now they were astonished at his teaching. But then they said, 'Where did this man get these things? Is this not the carpenter's son? Now is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James and Joseph and Judas and Simon with us? And we know his sisters, they're with us.'" In verse 57, it says, "And they took offense at him." What? Yep. Let's read it. Matthew 13, 57. Go. "And they took offense at him, and he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Would you underline the word took offense? And then circle the word unbelief. You see, what the Bible is saying is when I take offense at something, it is equal to what? Unbelief. Yeah. You see, my choice to take offense at somebody is really a sign of a diminishing quality of faith to the point where it's not called belief, it's called unbelief. It's a sign of unbelief. When I tolerate offense and I take offense, the Bible says that no miracles take place. He could not do any miracles there because of their unbelief or that the fact that they took offense. You know, I don't know about you, but I need some miracles still to happen in my life. How many of you would say, I could use some miracles? Yeah. Some of you are saying, you could use miracles, honey. You know, we all need miracles. Families need miracles. This church needs miracles. And you know what the Bible is saying? If we start to simply take offense, we disqualify the miraculous. The God of the universe, the God that put all of the stars in space, says he could do not many miracles because they were taking offense. You see, when we take offense, we stop the King of the universe from being able to do miracles. He's, what? Yeah, it's that big of a deal. And you see, the enemy knows that if he can have us take offense, then he stops miracles from happening. That's why we must refuse to be offended. Just refuse. Does that mean you won't be offended? No, you'll have lots of chances to be offended. Lots. Why? Because we live among fallen mankind and we step on each other's toes a lot. And the closer you get working with one another, you're going to step on toes. But you've just got to make a choice. In fact, would you write in that bullet, faith is a choice that we make. It's a choice. Because we'll get hurt, but don't take offense. See, there's going to be times where you won't be invited when you think you should have been. You won't be invited to a luncheon. Others are invited and you're not. You're not invited on a meeting when others were invited. You weren't asked for your advice nor consulted when you think, hey, I know more about this than anybody here does. They didn't ask me. And we get a little offended. But one of the things we have to do is just say, I refuse to be offended. Nope. Because you see, it is the Lord who oversees my life. And if that's not for me, then that's not for me. God knows why. And maybe he wants to just keep me out of the fray of something that's going to take place. God, I trust you with all my heart and I refuse to be offended. Because you see, you got to make that choice to be just refuse. You know, if there's anyone that had the right, quote unquote, to be offended, it was Jesus. I mean, he was spat upon. He was beaten. Demons were running after him. People were trying to kill him. People were slandering him, telling people that he was frequenting harlots and he was a wine bibber or this or that. He had so many chances to just take offense. But you know what? In the book of Isaiah, it foretells the character of this Messiah. And listen to this. In fact, let's read it together in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 4. Go. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth. He will not be what? Or crushed. You know what it's saying? He refused to be so. He will not be disheartened or crushed. Well, whoa, wait a minute. He's going to have a lot of chances to be disheartened and crushed. Yeah, but he won't be. Oh, but people are going to come against him falsely. Yeah, but he won't be disheartened or crushed. How come? Because he just made a choice not to be. Why? Because he knew that the miraculous needed to take place for our redemption. And if our Lord took offense, he knew that the miracles would not take place. So he will not be disheartened or crushed. It's a choice he made. You see, faith is a choice we make. I can't be offended. Yeah, but you know what he said to you, Wayne? I can't be offended. Why? Are you in denial? No. Are you like a wimp? No. Then why aren't you offended? Because I love the miraculous too much. I need the miraculous happening in my life, in my family's life, in my health, in my future. I can't control all of that. I just need God's miracles to be released and take place. Well, what's my role? Refuse to be offended.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Characteristics of Great Faith by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.